Welcome to For the Health of It, an intimate look at public health in Cowley County, Kansas. Join us as we discuss topics that are impacting public health in our community and learn about what we do at your local health department. Hey, welcome once again, everybody, to Season 2, Episode 1 of For the Health of It, Cowley County, the podcast that originates at your local health department to help you stay informed about all things public health, or all things health-wise, hopefully, in our county. This is Tom Langer, the administrator and public health officer, and with me today, as always, is my assistant, Allie. Allie, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
And today we have got a lot of things we want to talk about. First off, sorry we were gone for an extended period of time, but January and the end of the year is really kind of busy for any business, but especially a health department, as we wrap up the things that happened in the year prior, which in this case would have been 2023, and we get everything ready, set, go for the new year. And it seems like when all of that happens, the first month just flies by. And would you agree that that was, what happened this year?
Oh, yes.
And of course, we cannot go any further right now without talking about the most important thing on everybody's mind, and that is Taylor Swift going to go to the Super Bowl and see, my favorite tight end in all of football, Travis Kelce, play? So good for them. I'm so happy they found romance. It's great. all of those people that are haters on that, give it up. If you can't be happy for a couple of people that obviously, are in a relationship and feel good about each other, that's what a sad world. So, and go Chiefs. Now I've said what I had to say, because that is coming up,
and I
need a little bit of I need a little bit of excitement, in my life. So, looking forward to the Super Bowl. Let's talk about what we did in 2023.
Okay,
Allie, I have a stack of papers in front of me, a nice little thing. It's about 15 pages long, I think it is, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and it's titled the Annual Report of Activities. We're going to have to do this in very visual words today, because people are not going to be able to see it just yet, because it's going to be posted up on our... By the time they hear this, they can see it. It'll be on the website, and they can go out and look at it and maybe listen to this as they go through it. But... tell me a little bit about the whole process of putting together an annual report for a health department.
Well, the annual report for our health department is a nice summary of things that we did throughout the year. It's a good way to highlight what we're doing for the community. It's a good way to thank the community, and it's a good way for us to evaluate our services and make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to for the community.
Absolutely. So why don't we go ahead and kind of go through this now? I'm going to kind of jump a page a little bit, and I'm going to do the first couple, because that's where the administrator, the public health officer's stuff is.
Okay.
First off, we acknowledge and we dedicate this particular annual report in the memory of Mary Benton. And for those of you that remember, Mary Benton was a member of the Joint Board of Health for over 30 years. She was a longtime Arc City resident, and she represented the Arc City Commission during all of that time. And she has been, she was a wonderful friend, a wonderful, caring person. I've missed her dearly. And, I got the chance to see her husband last weekend and make sure he was still doing okay. And there probably isn't a monthly meeting that we have for the Board of Health where I don't think about her and don't miss her presence. And so we've dedicated this report to her memory and everything that she accomplished. Then the second thing, and this is going to be very brief on my part, was you guys, and by that you guys, I mean the team that helped construct this. They were, I looked at you and said, hey, go get this data. Let's put this stuff together, because the last thing you want me to do is write, all text. And I think the instructions were, let's make this as exceptionally visual as we can, and let's make it tell a story, right? And then you guys brought it back and presented it, and I was like, oh, this is cool. We kind of put our own spin of what a roadmap or a trail or a trip through the year was like. And so that's been formatted in that respect.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And in my report, I even allude to that. And I think a couple of the things I talk about, road trips and how all of the things that go into when you do a trip, you know, the planning for it, the actual travel, what you do when you're at your destination, that's kind of the theme behind our annual report. And so we hope that when you look at it, you'll understand that was what we're trying to get across, what the path and the trail that we went through as an organization. And we'd love for you to take a look at it and even provide comments. You know, you can always reach out to our public information officer, our PIO, Daniel Vildesol. He will love to take your comments. and he's sitting here shaking his head because he's the guy that's always behind the mic making sure that this stuff works well. Now, I've said all I need to say. I'm turning it over to you, young lady.
Okay.
Lead us through this annual report.
Okay, so on our first main page of our annual report, this would be page 3 if you're following along, we're really talking about who we are as a health department and what we did, a broad overview. So we've been in the business as with the Joint Board of Health for 77 years now, and we have over 30 different health and support services to help you stay well. Those services are provided through our 7 core programs: family planning, immunizations, the Women, Infants, and Children program, known as WIC, the Maternal and Child Health program, child care licensing, environmental health, and emergency preparedness. In the 2023 year, did you know that we actually saw 13,704 clients through these different programs?
A lot of people.
When we consider that, with the population of Cowie County, that equals out to being around 1 in 3, or about 33-34% of the county would have received a service at the health department at least once.
And those 13,000 plus clients, those were distinct individuals.
Yes.
We're not counting, Daniel or Tom coming to the health department 5 times.
Correct. We actually had 29,837 completed appointments. So you can tell from that, multiple people came back several times.
Several times. And that's good. Any new clients that we had last year?
Yeah, we had 2,656 new clients last year. That's very impressive.
Yep. It's nice because what those numbers really basically reflect to me is the fact that we're doing something right.
Yes.
That people are hearing our message. They're understanding the services that we provide, and they trust us as a provider, and we're eternally grateful for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Our youngest client that we had last year was 3 days old and came in for the WIC program.
That's little tiny. Yeah.
Very fresh. And then our oldest client that we had was 105 years in for a flu shot.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, we talk about that. We service everybody through all the stages of life, and I think that actually is an illustration of that.
I believe so.
Month to month, how did we do? I mean, is it...
Our month-to-month was pretty stable for what we expect at the health department, where we're kind of steady through the beginning of the year in the spring, and then we get to the summer, and it is back to school. We are very busy with immunizations and health assessments, and we really continue to be busy throughout the rest of the year with respiratory season and everything that brings. So we were pretty busy from June through the end of the year.
How did our overall clinical services and everything that we look at, how did it compare... Just in numbers, big numbers, to the year previous? Were we up, down, same?
Our clinical numbers were down slightly. It looks like last year we saw about 16,500 clients, but that's to be expected. In 2022, we were especially very busy with pandemic activities and COVID testing. So that would drive our numbers quite a bit, and COVID vaccines and that type of thing.
Yeah, it moves us to that next page of the report, doesn't it?
Yes, we are on page 4.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk just for a little. I think most people are tired of hearing about the pandemic.
Certainly.
But it is something that it was important that we felt we probably had to acknowledge of what happened, because it took a 3-year chunk out of our lives.
Right. And it impacted everybody everywhere.
And so when we take a look at that, we've got a really nice synopsis of what happened from beginning in March of 2020 all the way through May of 23, and a few of the high points. I look for people to go ahead and say, hey, take a look at this and see the impacts. And I dare challenge anybody to tell me that it did not affect your life. We talk about it all the time because it's a reality. I think at the very end, that little brief couple of lines, where are we now? You know, pandemic's been said to be over, but yet you still hear from us about the fact COVID's going to be here. It will be here for the rest of the existence of time. I mean, on Earth, COVID is now a thing. It's just like the flu. It's just like a cold and everything else. And it's a respiratory virus that we're going to be talking about and dealing with for the foreseeable future. We have yet to probably determine what the total impacts are going to be, other than the fact that we know we survived a pandemic. And congratulations to everybody on that one. What comes next?
We are on page 5, and we are looking at the immunizations program, everything we did in there.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, and it's sad because we have to talk about that right after the pandemic. One of the things I hope that people will take away is that don't lose faith in medical science. I am like everybody else. I feel betrayed, deep down about a lot of things that happened during those last 3 years. The information that we were given and everything that happened. But you know what I've never lost faith in? I've never lost faith in the efficacy and the need for us to have proper immunizations that are time-tested and proven. Things like, you know, measles and, you know, varicella, chicken pox, and all of those things, you know, whooping cough, all of those things that we can get rid of, and so that our families and babies never have to go through that stuff again. Don't lose faith in that. That stuff is tested. It's true. We are probably one of the, if not the leading provider of those types of immunizations in the top 2 or 3 in our community.
Yeah.
I think we probably give most of them.
Yeah. Did you know that last year alone, we gave over 8,700 doses of different immunizations?
Of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of vaccinations. How do those things break out?
Yeah, so about 5,526 of them, actually, to be specific, were routine immunizations, things that our children receive, things that we are supposed to receive as adults, that type of thing, very routine, been around for a number of years. 3,146 of those doses were respiratory immunizations, and we have that broken out by flu, COVID, and RSV.
Yeah, the new one was RSV that came in towards the end there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we did do more travel vaccines last year. We did 30, and those are the typhoid and yellow fever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are starting to pick up, and we realize, too, that we are a regional provider for that. We have people coming from all over, not just Kansas. They come up out of Oklahoma and every place else to our health departments to get that service.
Yes. Yes. And then one thing that's really cool about page 5, if you're following along, is there's a nice graph here, and it follows the trend that we mentioned earlier. We got really busy in the summer, and man, did we continue to be busy throughout the year, with October almost being 2,000 doses mm-hmm. of different immunizations. That's incredible.
Yeah, and that's really when we're out there and we're pushing hard. That's the height of the, you know, get prepared for the flu season, which, by the way, has been very successful, knock wood. We still are in February, but moving ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. We take the show on the road quite a bit. Last year, we went out 52 different times, either going to schools or local businesses or long-term care facilities, just to make sure that anybody who wants these services can access them easily.
Yeah, the crown jewels of that clinic stuff probably are our drive-thrus, don't you think?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
And we do those in both locations. I mean, and by that, I mean both major population centers. We do one always out at the fairgrounds here in Winfield, and then we do it at the agribusiness building in Ark City, and we always have really decent turnouts for that. And I think, I don't know that there's probably an easier way to get a flu shot. Come up, drive up, sit what? At the most, and you can, guys can nod, they're going to have to believe me out there. What, 5 minutes maybe it was the longest wait somebody might have had?
Yeah, it's pretty efficient.
Like it goes pretty quick.
And we have suckers.
Yes, we do. Lollipops and...
Oh, yeah.
And you know, stuff that sugar that we're not supposed to give out.
Right.
But anyway, that is kind of a really good overview of what we do on the prevention side, right? Now let's start talking about that real service delivery things, to where we're promoting good health and we're helping people. Let's talk a little bit about WIC.
Okay. Yeah, we're moving on to page 6 for anybody following along. please follow along. Yeah, this please. Page this by great. Itself is fantastic.
This is amazing. Yeah.
This is a summary of our Women, Infants, and Children program, our WIC program. And man, do we have a lot of cool information on this page. Our average monthly participation in the program was over 900 people, 935, and that was the average. Mm-hmm. Last year, we had 231 infants in the program. That number is really impressive.
That's over half the newborn children that we see annually in Cali County.
Right, in Cali County.
Yeah, that's an amazing number. And for us to have, the, you know, to be over 50%, I think that speaks well to the messaging that we do, you know, that stuff that Daniel sends out, what our home visitors, we'll talk about them in a minute or two. But all of these things. And then we had how many new people in the program?
427, brand new.
Now, and WIC is an interesting program because it is not static. It is very dynamic. It changes from month to month as people go through it, because this is not something that you get on it and you stay on it forever, right?
Correct.
I mean, it's to help. It's to help women who are expecting and in a postpartum state, up to, especially if they're breastfeeding. It serves their nutritional needs, and it helps them with appointments and things like that. But then the real focus is the child. And from the time the child is born up to its fifth year, or up to 5 years.
Yes, up to five.
Up to 5 years. And it provides nutritional assistance for them so that they get off to the best start in life. Because, again, realize this. If you can be healthy as a child, especially a toddler and a little child, you know, up to school age, and a lot of that is through nutrition, you are going to get off to a much better start in your life. You're going to have fewer chronic health problems. It's going to cost less for you to be able to, you know, survive moving forward as far as medical costs go. The other thing about WIC, and I don't think it's in here, we didn't talk about it, where the funding comes from the United States Department of Agriculture. It's a USDA program. And then now they pump a lot of money into our local economies through this program.
Yes, they do.
How much of an economic impact in Cali County did the WIC program have in 2023?
Over $775,000.
And that is for what?
It is just for these WIC benefits in the local grocery stores.
And so basically, this is food.
Yes.
This is food for women and children. You know,
yes.
Little kids.
Of nutritional value.
Yeah, we're not talking, you can't go out and buy ice cream bars and Oreos like I like.
Yeah, you're not getting your Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, you don't get that. This is for fruits, vegetable, protein, the things that you need to have in order to maintain a healthy diet.
Yes.
Okay. And that is absolutely amazing. And then we also have I like this one chart that we have in here, this graph that shows by month the dollars spent and where. So you can actually look at this and see the stores in our communities where, you know, the dollars are being spent. And it heavily favors Arc City.
Yes. Over 500,000 of that 775 was in Arc City.
And the other thing, the sheer number of transactions. I mean, that is... Over 26,000 transactions occurred for people, you know, getting this kind of help.
Right.
I shudder to think of what the health of the community would be like if these families did not have this kind of assistance. So anyway, it's a really cool thing. And I think it does really illustrate the economic impact that the health department has in the community. Because this money being spent on food allows families to take other money that they have and use it to invest in other things, even if if it's paying rent and utilities, stuff that absolutely is essential to their well-being. So, anyway, that's a neat thing to look at. We hope people do. And if you have questions about it, you want to know more about it, call us, because we are more than happy to discuss this program with you. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and move on to page 7, and we'll be looking at our maternal and child health program.
MCH, yeah, like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anybody who's local, you you have to know that the scope of healthcare changed quite a bit in 2023. One of our two local hospitals is undergoing still some restructuring and revising their service model.
And let's just cut to the chase, because in that service model and everything else, labor and delivery was eliminated from the hospital in Arc City. We lost the midwives that were down there that were functioning and working that affected over 100 mothers, I think, every year. The sad reality, and I say this as the administrator and the public health officer, the sad reality of this right now is that starting in 2024, you know, there will be no birth certificates issued for people who live in Arc City saying that they gave birth in Arc City, unless, of course, that happens at home.
Right.
That's sad. So what do we do? How do we handle those that 100, 150 moms that live in that community to make sure that they're being cared for? That's where our MCH program comes in. We retooled this. We saw this coming, and we knew we were going to have to step up our game. And I'm thrilled with the work of our home visitors and what they've been able to do, because we try to identify expectant moms while they're expecting, make sure they get connected with all the services they're going to need. They can get in to see OBs. They can have a birthing plan. They know where it's going to go so that there's no surprises on that day, other than we don't want somebody showing up in a parking lot, ready to deliver a baby only to be turned away. So anyway, I got off my soapbox. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Go ahead and talk good stuff now.
Yeah, one thing that's really cool about the MCH program is that all of these services are provided free of charge to any family that's expecting.
Yeah, this is what we do. This is that service and that prevention and promotion. We have identified this as a core thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Service that we must provide in our community. So.
And the program is very specific to family needs too.
Right.
So some families may need more, and we may see them more frequently. And other families may just need some support here and there. This program adapts to whatever it needs to. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
There's a really nice graph here. In all, we went on over 200 different visits to these expecting and growing families. Many of these visits were done in the home setting, but we did have some that were done in our clinics. We had some done around at the libraries and other local groups. And then we even had one that was done in the hospital shortly after birth.
Right. Looks like we had about a 60-day baby boom.
We did,
in
yes.
In Cali County. Yeah. During the summer months. Okay, so that's neat. That's really cool. What's really nice is when you take a look at these and you look at these graphs, you can actually see what was going on in the community. It leads to questions which we like to ask, and then of course also provide the answers for. So what else? We talk about MCH and what that does, and there's another portion of services we have that kind of leads up to that, doesn't it?
Certainly, and even after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now we're on page 8, and we're going to be talking about our family planning program.
Talk about family planning. Is it always just about families and planning them, or are there other things included in that?
There's lots of prevention involved with the family planning program. It's important to have a healthy reproductive system.
That's really what it is. This is the program that looks at human reproduction. And, you know, we do it. I mean, that is the thing to do. It became kind of titled under the umbrella of family planning because, for some reason or another, throughout history, it seemed like it was only being provided services for women. That's not the case anymore.
Correct.
You know, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, last year in the program, we saw 294 participants who came in at least once. As you said, we did have some males. 42 of them were males. That number is up from last year, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And we had 252 females in the program.
Exactly. Now, what are the greatest threats to healthy reproductive systems?
STIs, or sexually transmitted infections.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So what's the current status, not just in Cali County, but pretty much nationally on that?
The current status is that they are circulating, and they circulate quickly.
And it is higher and growing, and it's getting bigger and bigger. It's sad that in 2024, we are still talking about outbreaks of syphilis and gonorrhea and chlamydia, which I think is the biggest single one that occurs. It's just, I mentioned this to the Board of Health in a recent meeting, because we were going over the programs as well. And I said, you can go back to the beginning of public health and look at the conditions that we were charged to help address. Sexually transmitted diseases was one of them. Nutritional needs was the other one. And then preventative medicine, you know, providing ways to protect people from chronic, you know, and disease and respiratory diseases. You know what? Here we are, 2024. That role really hasn't changed. We do those same things still today that we've done for, I mean, public health has been around for over 100 years.
Right.
But in our county, you know, for the last, say, 80 so years, this is what we're doing still.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the program, we had over 203 pregnancy tests that were done. And well, we were just talking about STIs. Did you know that we did 755 of those different tests?
Yikes.
Some of those were for HIV, hepatitis C antibody tests, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. If you're following along, you can see a nice pie chart that breaks that out. And we did, unfortunately, have to treat 51 individuals for having one of these STIs.
Hey, Allie, do you remember way back when we started these podcasts? What was our very first one?
It was on STIs.
It was on that, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny how we come, you know, it comes back around. And so, you know, for those of you who may be listening to this for the first time or something new, hey, go back and look at the library. It's out there. You can always go back and listen to some of those old ones if you need a little bit more information about what we do. But I also think it's really interesting as we look at these numbers, and not to be too geeky, but we see the total number of women that we provided pregnancy tests to, and then we take a look at the, you know, in the other program where we had new babies.
Right.
We can help identify, you know, no matter where you are. The big thing I want people to always remember about the family planning or the reproductive health program is the fact that, hey, these services are provided on a very confidential basis. Nobody knows anything about it. This is provider and patient, and it's here and it's available to you, regardless of income level or insurance.
Or age,
yeah. So take advantage of it. You know, come in, get the professional help, especially in what I call, you know, we're kind of, well, we're not, I forget how they break us down on the census charts.
Oh, sure.
But we're rural, but not, you know, frontier. I mean, we're close enough to big communities, so we can provide these kinds of services, and we're glad to do so. Now what we got coming up?
We're on page 9. We're going to talk about our emergency preparedness program. This program is responsible for most of our messaging to the public.
Yeah, Silent Dan has a lot to do with that.
He sure does. Making sure that people know what's coming, that they know how to prepare for certain events, even when it's maybe not on their radar.
Yeah, because it never is. We never think about the bad stuff.
Well, right. It's not going to happen to me.
We do. We think about it.
Right.
But as individuals, we put it off until after the fact, and then we're like, now what? And so that's what we do.
Right.
And I do. You know, we don't give guys like Daniel and Tanner and everybody enough credit for the amount of time they have to spend working on this stuff.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's important.
It's working with lots of different local partners and even putting on our major event each year, the Health and Safety Fair.
Yeah, which is one of Daniel's favorites.
Oh, yeah. Coming back this May at the Ag Building in Arc City on May 18th. Mark your calendar.
Yeah, mark your calendar. Absolutely. We want you to turn out for that. And we have other things to do. We don't just sit on an island. We also participate in our regional activities because we are part of what's called the South Central Metro Region. Number of counties that, you know, surround or are close to Greater Wichita. And I'm very proud of the fact that our organization, our health department, serves in a leadership role in that organization. Daniel's very engaged with that and with a lot of the other councils and committees and such that we have here. That way we know what's going on and we have a voice and we can contribute into those conversations as policies and practices are looked at and made. And that way, the Cali County voice is always being heard. Okay, what else we got?
Let's move to page 10, and we can talk about our environmental health program. This program, you got to look at this page.
This is interesting.
There is a year-over-year comparison from 2019 to 2023 of the different services that were provided in the program.
Yeah, it is. Now, this really goes back to the role of water and what happens, how we take it out and how we put it back in. And Tanner is our environmental health officer. He is also the floodplain specialist in the county. Anybody that's building, anybody that has issues with their waste, their private wastewater systems, you're at some point in time going to talk to him. If a house sells, that's out in the county, not inside the city limits of either of the two, you know, larger metropolitan areas that we have, he is going to be involved because we are required to do inspections on those systems so that people that are selling them know the condition of them, and they take care of any issues that might exist before a new owner buys it. And it also helps the new owner have some confidence that they are going to get a system that is functional and will meet the needs of their things. But we also do not just the wastewater stuff. We do he does well inspections. So there's a lot of private wells in the county and folks that rely upon them for their own drinking water. And so we have a service there that he comes out and actually can do well water tests for people to make sure that the nitrate levels and I think it's coliform is what we look for.
Yep.
Nitrates and coliform are within prescribed limits and they're not high, because those are the kinds of things that can certainly mess with your health if they're not correct. So that's a great thing that we do. It's a service a lot of people don't realize that the health department's involved in. And then we also do some stuff with animal bites. Want to talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Just, you know, what we track and how?
Yeah. So we work with local law enforcement and medical professionals anytime that there is a report of an animal bite. So there's a nice bar chart here that breaks them down by month. We had 64 total bite reports that came to the health department.
And Daniel got to handle every single one of those. And what we do, the reason why we have to really watch this, because there's you're gonna chuckle at this, but there's one reason that we look for this. We want to make sure that we don't have any human cases of rabies. We don't want exposure, and the only way for us to do it is to through these animal bite reports. And that's why they come in, and we have to review them, and we follow up on cases. A lot of times, if animals haven't been vaccinated, there's a certain protocol. If they do, there's a separate protocol. But that's what we do, and people likely don't know about that as well. I love the annual report for things like that. It helps people understand what we do.
Yeah. Well, on page 11, we talk about a couple different things, but the first is our lead poisoning prevention efforts, and a lot of that prevention is screening to know.
This is going to be something you're going to hear a lot more about.
Right.
I love people that have questions about that to take a look at this. Also, start checking up with us, because we're going to do probably an entire podcast on lead poisoning.
Yep.
Before too much longer,
I think we
did one. Yeah.
Yep.
But we're going to expand upon it, because things are going to continue to evolve in the county as we start to look at this issue, because it is a major issue, and it impacts our children and families way more than it should in Cowley County. So we're going to be working on that.
Yeah, and if you are following along, you can see there's a nice bar chart here that shows the months that we did over 600 different tests.
Yeah, and we're gonna really look to bump that up. That's one of those things that we have to do ahead. So, not gonna talk about it now.
Yeah, this page also talks about child care facility licensing.
Exactly, child care has been one of those situations in county that's been acknowledged for a long time that there's not enough of it.
Right. And not for our infants.
Yeah, and the health department does not set the standards or the laws for that. We serve in this situation as an extension of the state. And so we have a person, Patty, at the health department. I think, was she on? Did we have her on?
Yeah, we did.
We did. And we talked about that as well. And so this goes back to the program that she is most engaged in, and it takes a look at what, you know, the results of her work over the year. So what's next?
Next is page 12, and we're talking about our communications. Again, mostly managed through our preparedness program and our public information officer, Daniel.
Daniel does a sterling job in this. I look at this and I'm thinking, hey, look at this. How many of these things were brand new? The year previous, we rolled out our mobile app.
Correct.
Right? And then this last year, of course, For the Health of It comes along. And what I thought was the best on all of this page, to me, was interesting when I took a look at the number of impacts that we have that are out there. 4,200 Facebook followers? That's amazing. You know, over 8,000 Facebook visits to our page. I'd still love to see those numbers grow.
Certainly.
And then that 29,700, that's the reach we have when we send stuff out. That's amazing when you consider the population of the county.
Certainly.
I don't know how many of those remain local, but I would hope a good number of them are, you know, the vast majority. And then, of course, on other medias like what used to be called Twitter, is now X, we had over 13,000 impressions on that. That's pretty good, and I'm thrilled that we are absolutely doing this. Then the other thing, of course, is the bi-weekly public health update that is put out. This is that report that kind of was born during the pandemic,
right?
To help keep people informed. We used to do those things almost daily, and then thank goodness it grew to weekly, and then, you know, it settled in at the bi-weekly rate. We said this is a good thing. And this is where you can still find all the information out about what's currently happening, what's coming up. We try to let you know their information about, you know, that will absolutely impact the community. Right?
Yeah.
Right. How are we doing?
We're doing okay. We're on page 13, and we're looking down the road into 2024.
Oh, yeah.
Some things that the community can expect from their local health department.
Absolutely. Always the health and safety fair.
Yes.
Always. You know, that is one of those things where we love to engage with people. We want you to come out. We want you to see the community members, the organizations that can assist you. There are two other things that are kind of big picture items. That,
yes, certainly.
We'll be hearing about. Every 3 years, our community has to go through a community health needs assessment. Why do we have to do that? Well, that's because we have one hospital that's fully functioning left, and it is a not-for-profit hospital. That's William Newton Memorial in Winfield. For them to maintain their not-for-profit status, this has to happen in the community every 3 years. So it's vital that it does occur, and the health department takes a very active role. You know, I don't want to say leadership, but we are very active, and we push this a lot to make sure that we're getting the information that we need to from the community so that we can see, are we working in the right areas? And from that community health needs assessment, which is this enormous survey, the data is compiled, and then we take that and we work on a community health improvement plan, which will then guide us for the next 3 years in the areas that we have to go through. Recent history, we had mental health issues. That, boy, we really were told that this is a big thing. And then, you know, in years past, we've seen chronic disease. I remember when I first got here, the one of the big points that we had to deal with was children having children. You know, where we had a lot of teen pregnancies and births, and the impact of smoking and other, you know, drug use during that time period and what it was doing down the road. So this is important stuff. It's coming. And then, of course, the other thing is we've talked about it's really big picture, and it's called Health in All Policies. It is the health department's role in helping our community draft policy to set law, I guess, at that level, enforce, but to promote good health, so that we look at things from a strategic lens, saying, hey, as we're developing programs, as we're building new things, are we doing this with the health of the public in mind? And can we always consider that first? So I'm done with that.
Okay. Page 14 is a nice list of all of those who are on our Joint Board of Health, who they were appointed by. They contribute greatly to what we are able to do here at the health department. And there's also a list of our staff that contributed to these programs.
Absolutely. Always have to acknowledge that. The final page I'll chat about just briefly, it's financials. The cost of doing business in the county is not just borne by the taxpayer. We have operated the local health department as a business, you know, at least in the 9 years that I've been here, and even before that, because we realize that the taxpayers are burdened enough, and so we make sure that everything that we do, we can find a way to fund it, and we can make sure that we are working at minimum at break even, and that is what we do. We provide a lot of services for free, but when we can, we will reach out and collect from insurance companies. We will ask people to help contribute to the cost of their care. We show in graphic form, you know, how the money flows by month, where it's spent, you know, and where the revenue comes from. We're very conscientious about that. We are audited annually. We do things exactly the way it's supposed to. And, you know, I'm very proud to say that in the time that I have been the administrator, we do it the right way, and we're setting it up. We have a much stronger and healthier business as the health department today than we have ever had before, and that is even after going through the pandemic and everything else. So I took that one from you. Sorry.
No, that's great.
Okay. What else do we got?
Well, that was the last page
that's
of our annual
it,
report.
Huh?
Yeah.
So and I would imagine we're probably doing pretty well on time. So when you take a look at the back cover, it is reminiscent of the front, where it kind of looks like a postcard. And if you've ever been on a family vacation and you've picked up postcards, this goes back to, of course, you know, my childhood and lifetime. I used to love those things when we would travel on vacations by car. You'd always see the ones, you know, with the giant stuffed chipmunk, or the world's biggest prairie dog, or the biggest ball of twine, and all of that. And you would have, oh, wish you were here. Right. So what we're saying as we conclude this episode of For the Health of It, Cali County, and our review of our annual report is we really do. We wish you were here. We want you to engage with us at the health department, to utilize our services. That is why we exist. We like to hear from you, and we always want to be responsive to your needs, because not only do we have a particular vision and mission, but our values of prevent, promote, and protect are all summed up in that one saying that we've attached to our tagline. And I think it's been within the last year and a half, 2 years. And that is, at the health department, we work hard every day to help you stay well. And we appreciate you, and we thank you. And I am done with this one. Come back again soon. Allie, take us out, will you? What do we say when we get out of here? Hey, thanks for listening.
And until next time, stay well.
Stay well. And watch Super Bowl. Look for Taylor Swift.
Yep, yeah, do it.
Okay, thanks. Thank you for joining us for this edition of For the Health of It, Cali County. We hope you found it useful, and that you'll tell your friends and give us a listen again during future episodes. As always, we end today's segment by replaying a recent Public Health Minute, which is a weekly radio message focused on keeping you healthy. So, until next time, stay well, everyone. February is National Heart Month, so here's your health department with some tips to help you stay heart healthy. First, eat a balanced and nutritious diet. Salty foods packed with saturated fat increase your risk of heart disease and other problems. So, instead, go for fresh fruits, leafy greens, and whole grains. And don't forget the fish. These all contain nutrients that can protect and keep your heart in good shape. Next, get some exercise. Regular exercise lowers your risk of heart attack and strengthens your heart and cardiovascular system. Plus, it can also help you maintain a healthy weight. Lastly, make sure you're getting regular care by examining your risk factors such as blood pressure, cholesterol levels, and blood glucose. Your doctor can help you manage your heart and make changes that are necessary to stay healthy. Remember, the earlier a problem is detected, the sooner treatment can begin. And helping you stay heart healthy? Well, it's just another way the health department works hard every day to help you stay well.